In a season of gift giving, I want to focus on giving gifts that we need to continue giving. You may be weary of trying to figure out the gifts that you wanted to get your loved ones, and or even with the shopping experience itself. I did read about two men who decided to go sailing while their wives went shopping. And while they were sailing, a great storm came, and they even had to go on the shore of a small island. And hostile natives attacked them with poisonous darts. And as they're hiding behind their sailboat from these poisonous darts, one of them said, "I realize that today hasn't gone exactly as planned, but this sure beats Christmas shopping, doesn't it?" Well, you may feel the same way about Christmas shopping. But tonight, I want to talk about seven gifts that we need to keep on giving. And if you're money conscious, here's the good news. They don't cost a thing. But that doesn't mean that they are of no value. In fact, they are of tremendous value. Because each of them involves giving of ourselves. So some gifts we need to keep on giving throughout the year. How about the gift of listening? The gift of listening. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. James 1:19 says, we need to be swift to hear, swift to listen. And that means really listening. No interrupting, no daydreaming, no walking away, no planning your response, but genuinely listening. Now this, some of you will know exactly what I'm talking about and some of you won't. But I think about like in a car radio, the old car radio, where you had this dial that you turn in order to find a station. And particularly on the AM stations, I remember that a lot of times you'd find a station and you'd listen to the music that you wanted to listen to, and then there'd be interference from another station. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, one writer suggested that good listening is like tuning in a radio station. You've got to tune it in just right in order to hear it. Because there can be interference. And the interference that would prevent us from listening may be a television. It may be something that we're reading. It may be a distraction in our mind. But listening requires a choice of where I place my attention. And one of the greatest gifts we can give is just to listen. To listen. Put away all that will divide our attentions. Give our full attention to the person to whom we're listening. And just listen. Charles Swindoll has written a lot of books. And he tells of a time in a book coincidentally called Stress Fractures that there was a deadline looming. And he was just irritable. He was choking down his food. He was feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions throughout the day. And it was affecting his family life at home with his small children. And at one point, they were sitting at the dinner table, and his little daughter, Colleen, said, "Dad, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast." And Charles Swindoll says, "Well, honey, you can tell me whatever you need to tell me, but you don't have to say it real fast. Just speak slowly." And he wrote, he'll never forget her response. She said, "Daddy, then listen slowly. Then listen slowly." It's one of the greatest gifts we can give is just to listen. Listening speaks. It says you are valuable to me. It says what you have to say is important. It communicates those things just by closing our mouths and listening. A second gift is the gift of affection or the gift of caring. Romans 12 verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another, or be devoted to one another with brotherly love, and honor giving preference to one another." There's two terms I want to highlight there. Kindly affectionate, as the New King James puts it, devoted, NIV, has two words in it. The word for friendship love, but also the word for family love. Both put together. So treat each other, be kindly affectionate, like friends, like family. Even treat your family like friends, with brotherly love. And there's, you've always known a Greek word, but may not have realized it. That's the Greek word Philadelphia, brotherly love. In the context, it's written to Christians. And so these are the types of love we're to have for one another. But the gift of love, of affection, is a gift we can give. So be generous with appropriate hugs, pats on the back, encouraging words. Even these small actions demonstrate the love that we have for family and friends. Alan Loy McGinnis wrote about a member of his community, of his hometown, by the name of Hubert Bales. He was a rather obscure nurseryman who died recently when he wrote this. And he says that he wasn't really a prominent member of the community as you would expect someone to gain the amount of people that attended his funeral. The church building was full, even the balcony, he said. How was it that this obscure nurseryman was remembered fondly by so many? The largest funeral in history of their little town. Why did such a shy man win the hearts of so many people? Alan Loy McGinnis says this: simply because Hubert Bales knew how to make friends. He had mastered the principles of caring, and for more than 60 years, he had put people first. And he was remembered fondly because he gave the gift of caring. That's a gift you and I need to keep on giving. The gift of a note. The gift of a note. Philippians 1:3 is a verse that I cite often, but with no regrets. Paul wrote this to the Christians in Philippi: I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So in his letter, he says, I'm thankful for you. Every time I think of you, I thank God for you. The gift of a note can mean so much. It can be just a thanks for the help, or it can be a long letter expressing just how much you appreciate someone. But a brief handwritten note can be remembered for a lifetime and may even change a life. I was interested to read about the contents of Abraham Lincoln's pockets at the time of his death. These were kept with the family for a period of time, and then finally donated to the Library of Congress. But these were the contents of Abraham Lincoln's pockets when he was killed, shot at Ford's Theater on April the 14th, 1865. He was carrying two pair of spectacles, a lens polisher, a pocket knife, a watch fob, a linen handkerchief, a brown leather wallet containing a $5 Confederate note, interestingly, and 9 newspaper clippings, including several that were favorable to the president. And what impressed me about that, especially, were these newspaper clippings, most of which were favorable to him. And it made me think and wonder, did he keep these with him because he had so many people who were speaking against him? And did he on occasion bring out these newspaper articles and read them to remind him that there were some who appreciated him? I don't know if that's the case or not, but I do know that a note from someone can change your life. It can mean the world, and it can be kept for a long, long time. The gift of a note is something we need to keep on giving. The gift of laughter, the gift of laughter is something we need to keep on giving. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And yes, a merry heart does good like medicine in our own lives, but also in the lives of others with whom we have contact. There was a guest preacher standing at the door greeting all the people that were present for the worship service in which he spoke. And there was one lady came up to him and took his hand and looked him right into the eye and said, "That was a very sorry sermon." Well, he was kind of shaken by that. But he was feeling a little bit better as he was continued to greet other people until that same lady came through the line a second time. And she said, took his hand, said, "Not only was that a sorry sermon, you didn't preach it very well." So he's just feeling rough now, but tried to maintain his composure and greet the others as they were exiting. And the lady came through a third time. She said, "That was a sorry sermon. You didn't preach it very well, and I hope you never come back." And this guest preacher looked at the local preacher looking for some kind of affirmation, some words of encouragement. And the local preacher said, "Oh, don't worry about her. She's not very bright. She just repeats everything that she hears." Everyone loves to laugh. And so let's do our best to give that gift, the gift of laughter. Even if it's about ourselves. This nursing home on Greelot Road used to be called Cogburn West. And there was a lady that lived there until she passed away by the name of Eunice Pope. She was a member of the church from North Alabama. And I would visit with her on occasion, as would Charles and Anita Riles. And invariably, when we would visit with her, she'd pull out these cards from a friend of hers, another member of the church in the city, the town in which she had lived. And she would share those cards with me. And she would encourage me to read what had been written. And what was often written was a little joke or a riddle. Or it might be a clipping of a cartoon out of the newspaper. But she had saved them, and she'd go back and read them, and they would bring joy to her and laughter, but also the reminder that there was someone who cared about her and wrote her. That meant the world to Eunice Pope. Let's keep giving the gift of laughter, even in a gift of a note. Number five, another gift, the gift of a kind deed, the gift of a kind deed. "For you, brethren," Galatians 5:13 says, "have been called to liberty, only don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Through love serve one another. And this is expressed can be expressed in many ways by doing kind deeds for others. I want to ask you to remember this statement. I hope you'll think of it tomorrow and every day to come. Every day, go out of your way to do something kind. Every day, go out of your way to do something kind. I hope tomorrow, this statement just comes to your mind. Every day, go out of your way to do something kind. And then we'll look for opportunities to do something kind for someone. I love John Wesley's poem, his rule for Christian living. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, and all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. The gift of a kind deed. Galatians 6:10, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith." Number six, let's keep on giving the gift of a cheerful disposition. Proverbs 15:13 says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Yes, a merry heart just shows up on our faces. But if we manifest that, it'll also show up on the faces of those around us. So try to be cheerful around those around others. Try not to complain. Feel sorry for yourself. No pessimistic predictions. Try to be positive. Have a cheerful disposition. Say hello. Say thank you. Those are easy things we can do to express appreciation and greeting. See if you can solve this riddle. It costs nothing, but creates much. It enriches those who receive without impoverishing those who give. It happens in a flash, and the memory of it sometimes lasts forever. None are so rich that they can get along without it, and none are so poor but are richer for it. It creates happiness in the home, fosters goodwill in a business, and is the countersign of friends. It is rest to the weary, uplifting to the discouraged, sunshine to the sad, and nature's best antidote for trouble. Yet it cannot be bought, begged, borrowed, or stolen, for it is something that is no earthly good to anybody till it is given away. And if it ever happens that some people should be too tired to give you one, why not leave one of yours? What is it? But a smile. A smile. Let's give the gift of a cheerful disposition, even through a genuine smile. And one more. Let's give the gift of prayer. The gift of prayer. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's one of the most immaterial yet valuable gifts that we can give because it can reach in places where we cannot. There's a statement found three times in our New Testaments, at least in the New King James Version. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Written by Paul in 1 Thessalonians and again in 2 Thessalonians and by the Hebrew writer, Hebrews 13. Pray for us. And what I want us to see here is that if the Apostle Paul requested the prayers of Christians, how much more do we need the prayers of others? And how much does it mean to us to know that others are praying for us? Praying for someone is another way of saying, you are so special to me that I often talk to God about you. Let's keep giving the gift of prayer. You see, there are some gifts that we need to keep on giving. A listening ear, affection, little notes, laughter, kind deeds, smiles, and especially our prayers. So let's commit to doing this throughout the year. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He taught it, but even more he modeled it. Most profoundly, when he gave his life for you and for me. And he's teaching us by his teaching and his life to give ourselves to him by giving ourselves to others. It may be tonight you're ready to respond to what Jesus did for you on the cross. And you're ready to be baptized into Christ as a penitent believer. So your sins can be washed away. So you can give your life to service to him. It may be that you desire the prayers of the church. If that be the case, that's a gift we can give. The gift of prayer for you and with you. If only you'll come and let that be known. Please come right now as we stand and sing.